Talk a little bit about topics from Kriyas in the Megillah. So as we, just an important sentence of introduction, that's something we've stated a couple times in the past, but it plays a strong role in this topic, is as we've mentioned, the mitzvahs of Purim are not necessarily classified as drabbanans. Even though they're not deraisas, clearly, they're not in the Chumash, or post-Pentateuchal, but at the same time, they're not necessarily the Rabbanans either. They fall into the category that we've discussed many times in the past, this category of Divrei Kabbalah, things that are mentioned in Psukim, just Psukim that are not in the Chumash. So since the mitzvahs of Purim, the four mitzvahs of Megillah Esther and Tachmanes, Matzot of Yonim and Suda, are identified, at least one way or another, in the Pasuk in Psukim Megillas Esther, so therefore they have the status of Divrei Kabbalah. And the Gemara has an expression, it's in a certain context, but the Gemara has the expression, Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah, dummy. So the Tari Evan took that to mean that we treat Divrei Kabbalah as Divrei Torah, for all intents and purposes, to say Suffolk Lahachmir, etc., etc. This is not necessarily what everyone else would say. There are probably Rishonim who disagreed with this, probably the Ran in a couple of places, and the Ramban, maybe the Rambam, and the Ravid, but the Tari Evan has been very influential on this point, so many assume like this, that Divrei Kabbalah are treated like Divrei Torah, and that that's the status that's properly given to the mitzvah of Megillas Esther, and of all the mitzvahs Hayom of Purim. So I'd like to look briefly at three different areas within Megillas Esther, and how these areas illuminate certain aspects of the mitzvah as we have it. So first of all, we know that the Megillah is read twice. Megillah is read at night and during the morning as well. And sociologically, you get the impression that it's really the nighttime reading that's the big deal. Well, the morning reading is not so much of a focus. But really, in halacha, you see, it's probably the opposite. Most Rishonim seem to believe that the daytime reading is the ikkar, and the nighttime reading is, at best, you'll see, secondary. Now, there was the opinion of the Rokeach disagreed with this, but the vast majority of Rishonim seem to see it the other way, that really it's the daytime reading that is the Iker. So, that being the case, it's interesting, first of all, there is a dispute between Tosfos and the Rambam about the Bracha of Shachiyanu. According to Tosfos, you would actually recite another Shachiyanu in the morning. And the Rambam disagreed. The Rambam says, you're not going to make a Shachiyanu a couple hours after you just made a Shachiyanu on the same mitzvah. So there's no Shachiyanu, the same, the brachos and everything else the same, except for the Shachiyanu. The Ragachover has a discussion about this, in which he notes that this seems to be addressing the question of whether the obligation of Kriyas Megillah at night and during the daytime, do they comprise two separate obligations, which could possibly justify another Shachiyanu, or are they two halves of one unit? So this idea that the morning reading is more important is expressed through a number of different aspects. First of all, the Noda Behuda has a tshuva in which he suggests, he's dealing with a question of what if you have to choose between Kiddush Levana and Megillah? What should come first? Or what different factors are at play? So one issue he considers is that L'chaira, Mitzvah Megillah is more pressing than Kiddush Levana, because Kiddush Levana is a drabbanan, and Megillah, as we started off saying, is a Mitzvah Medivrei Kabbalah, kind of a quasi-daraisa. So it would emerge that Megillah would be prioritized for that reason. So Nebi Yehuda says, actually not so fast, that this idea that the Megillah reading is Medivrei Kabbalah, that's only the Megillah reading of the daytime. Because that's all that's referred to in the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? How do we know they have to read the Megillah? Pasuk says, Hayamim ha'elu nizkarim v'naisim. That these days are commemorated, that's the Megillah, they're remembered, and they're not, and then we make a big deal out of them, and that's the Suda, that's the celebration. So the emphasis is on the Yamim. So there isn't any Pasuk that tells us that we read at night. So it says, Nagi Yehuda, that what you really have here is a Divrei Kabbalah on the morning. But the nighttime reading is actually a straight Darabbanan. So therefore, when contrasting, say, Kiddush Levana and Mikra Megillah, you have to look to other factors besides weighing a Darabbanan versus a Divrei Kabbalah. So the Divrei Kabbalah has, according to the Tori Evin and according to some others, but maybe not according to many Rishonim, but according to the very often quoted view of the Tori Evin and others, Divrei Kabbalah is treated like a din in the Torah. It's mentioned in Pesukim. Enough. So the Binyan Shlomo took this even further. The Binyan Shlomo was Rav Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna. The Binyan Shlomo points out, he has a couple of caches which he uses to prove this point, which we're not going to go into, we're going to try to be relatively brief as far as these topics really are longer topics, we're just going to be try to sketch them out. According to the Binyan Shlomo, so if you notice, you don't really find the Mikra Megillah at night referred to in Mishnayos. And he wanted to suggest that actually the institution of the Megillah reading of the nighttime is a post-Tanaitic innovation. That it was not in effect during the time of the Mishnah. The authors of the Mishnah never heard of reading the Megillah at night, and that that was something that only came about later. The Arab Sipes Da Frank didn't think this was correct. He had various rights in the other direction. And if you look in the Tshuva Tzvah Yehoshua, Diane Ehrenberg, he has a compromise, and he claims that they did read the Megillah at night during that Tkufa, but it was only a minute. And it became a din de Rabbanan later. So, what exactly then is the relationship? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, and there's a piece in the Masorah Journal about this, that he suggested that really the idea is that all the mitzvahs hayom of Purim take place during the daytime. This is a stark contrast to most of Yom Tovim, especially Pesach, which comes on its heels, right? Pesach is very night-focused, while Purim is completely day-focused. Right? So if you're going to be drinking at night on Purim, so that's B'Torah Seinu Mitzvah V'Yosef, right? There's no kiyum at all in drinking at night, the way we paskin, even if Rishonim may disagree. Shalach Manas Matas Lev Yonim is during the daytime. And really, Mikra Megillah is also during the daytime. In fact, it wasn't even so pashut that you should say Al-Hanisim at night. I mean, we do say Al-Hanisim at night, but there was the Ramah had to point it out, because you could have thought you don't say Al-Hanisim at night, because really Purim, for all intents and purposes, is really the daytime. So, really, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, it's true also, that really Mikra Megillah is about the daytime. And at night, what are we doing? At night is basically a preparation. It's basically like the Mar Makomos that we want in order to be able to appreciate the Megillah reading more. So therefore, we have at night kind of a hachana, so that the daytime reading will be able to build upon that. This could lead to some interesting chidushim lahalacha. For example, the question has been raised, let's say you're in jail, or you're in the army, let's say. And the army says they're going to give you out a few hours on Purim so you can hear Mikra Megillah, but it's only going to be one. It's not going to be the night and the morning. You're going to have to choose one. So which should you choose? So the truth is, I'm sure we've discussed in the past, in general, there is a Machlokas Afronim, Rishonim, Rabbaz, Chachim Tzvi, others. If you have to choose between doing a mitzvah, the first mitzvah that shows up, or holding off for a better opportunity, so that's a shiloh. What do you take? Do you take the biggest mitzvah, or do you take Eim Avir Nama Mitzvahs? It happens to be on this shiloh, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Eim Avir Nama Mitzvahs, you should take the Megillah at night. But others would disagree with this very strongly, because they say, not only do we not say Eim Avir Nama Mitzvahs here, but that, of all things, here is not a place for that machlokas to affect itself. Because here, the Mikra Megillah at night is only meaningful in the context of preparing for the Mikra Megillah during the daytime. And to say you're going to choose the night over the daytime makes no sense. If you can only do one, it should for sure be the morning. Well, that it basically, say with Mafrei, it's mean like if you happen to get sick in the morning, you don't make it, say it's meaningless. Not necessarily that it's meaningless, but that its function is really to be there to prepare for the morning. So to say, if I can only choose one to choose the night, is a decision that won't have much logic to it, is basically the point. The Rugachover also in his discussion about this. So the Ragachavan points out that there are two elements to Megillah. There is the Persume Nisa and the straight mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. And he observes that Persume Nisa is not relevant at night. At night everyone's asleep, no one's paying attention. So Persume Nisa is purely a function in the morning. So that distinction of breaking down Megillah into different parts is something that's relevant to a couple of other components when it comes to Megillah also. So now to switch into phase two, I'd like to just talk briefly about the idea of reading the Megillah on different days. So what we're familiar with from contemporary practice is that there are 2 days of Mikra Megillah. There's the 14th and the 15th. The Megillah is read in most of the world on the 14th of Adar. And in the walled cities, it's read on what we call Shushan Purim on the 15th of Adar. Why that distinction is, you could look at Iran at the beginning of the Megillah and the Ritva. They have different theories about what it is that brought about this historical distinction. But without going into those details, that's how it plays out, that the walled cities read on the 15th and everyone else reads on the 14th. But we're familiar from the first mission in Megillah, which most of us have probably come into contact with, that really there's more to it, that there's also the possibility of reading on the 11th or the 12th or the 13th. And who's that referring to? That's referring not to the walled cities or to the unwalled cities, but to the villages. The people who live in the villages, so they have a hard time reading Megillah. Why they have a hard time, we'll discuss a couple different possibilities. But whatever it is, it's a big deal for them to put the parts together to be reading the Megillah. And therefore, and again I'm being vague because we'll see it's machlokas rishonim how exactly this plays out, but therefore it's easier for them to be able to read the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa, on the days that they would go into the city anyway. And especially because we have a karsa tov to them, because they're the farmers, they're the people who are providing all the food for us to have our Sudas Purim. So we need them to be able to operate in order to have our Purim. So we're Makar Tov to them. So we give them the opportunity to read the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa, on the Monday or Thursday, that is immediately before. So if you allow reading on the 11th or 12th or 13th, they'll always catch either a Monday or a Thursday within that net. So now, the things I was being vague about, so how exactly did this happen? So it sounds like from Rashi that what happened was they read in the city. They all came to New York, and they got together in New York, and they read the Megillah there, and they had somebody from New York do the reading for them. Because apparently the issue was they don't know how to learn, and they can't do it themselves, so they have to go to the big city to have somebody who's going to do it for them. Now, Tosfos found this to be very problematic. Because, says Tosfos, how can the guy from New York read for them? He's not Mechuyev B'David. So how is that supposed to work? Especially in light of the fact, says Tosfos, that the Yerushalmi tells us that a person from the 15th, a person from the walled city, cannot read for a person from an unwalled city. They're not considered to share the same. So how exactly could that operate? So there are many theories to try to explain what Rashi means. Some suggested, like Tosfos, that maybe just the description is wrong, and that perhaps they gathered in the villages and they read there, or perhaps they gathered in New York but they had a village person read for them, so they had, there was one, but just not enough to go around in the little villages. Or it could be they had a setup similar to the way we read the Torah nowadays, where you have an Ola and a Bal Kori, and the Ola is really reading along with him. So too, they had a Bal Kori from the city, but the at least one person from the village was reading along with him, and they were fulfilling their obligation through them. And some suggest that really is machlokas about being the Yerushalmi, and that really we're not worried about the Yerushalmi, and that this idea to say you're not Mechuyev B'Davar is not a relevant question. So that may depend on something else. The Briska Rav had a explanation here. Rav Shlomo Fischer has a long essay about this in his Sefer Beis Yishai. But the Briska Rav said there's a big difference between the 15th and the 14th and the 14th and the 13th. The 15th and the 14th comprise two separate chiyuvim, two separate days of obligation. And that's what the Gemara says, lezman shozeh shozeh, lezman shozeh shozeh, etc., something like that, that they are two distinct days. While the village people who are reading on the 12, let's say, they're really 14th people. They're really people who should be reading on the 14th. But Chazal will make them on them, so they have the opportunity to read a little bit earlier. So that question is an interesting one. So in the Sefer Avnei Chayfetz of the Goldenberger, I wanted to suggest that really the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos may depend on the following question. What exactly is the nature of this idea of reading on the 12th or the 13th? Is it a separate chiyuv, which is apparently the way Tosfos understands it? Or maybe it's really a way of reading on the 14th and it's a tashlumen. And it's a strange kind of tashlumen, because normally tashlumen is later, after you already missed the obligation. But here tashlumen works backwards. We know they're going to have a hard time on that day. We let them read earlier because the Gemara is medayik from the pasuk v'lo yaver, that they can't read later than the 15th. So a tashlumen goes backwards. They read earlier as a tashlumen for what they're going to miss. So that question, is it a tashlumen or is it a separate day? That's what he suggests, that that seems to be at issue here between Rashi and Tosfos. Another, just parenthetically, another issue that... Sorry? Yeah, well, the Gemara has that language by the 14th and the 15th specifically. But when it comes to the village people, it's just a kula for them. That basically there's no significance as far as the neis to the 12th. It's that the Gemara darshins that there are other options. And that's how the Chazal understand it. These other options are kulas to allow the zone to be expanded. But another issue that Rishon grapple with based on this Rashi, and the reason why a lot of the Rishon would talk about this can be found not in Maseches Megillah, but in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Yud Gimel, is because another issue that's raised, just really parenthetically, but it affects also how you envision the scenario here, is there is a prohibition, the Gemara says, of Lois's Godudu, that one is not supposed to, well, one, many are not supposed to have divisive halachic practices. The Gemara says, Lo siskodu, really the pasuk is supposed to mean you're not supposed to cut your skin in reaction to a mourning situation. But the Gemara says that really you could have then said, Lo sigodu. And Lo siskodu is coming, excuse me, to teach us something else, and that's coming to teach us that you can't be factionalists. You can't have different people doing different practices within one purview, within eyeshot of each other. My folks in the Gemara are two halves of one Bezdin, or two Bezdins in one city, but whatever it is, the two groups doing different things, that's a problem. So how exactly, in Rashi's scenario, you're going to have people going to New York on the 12th of Adar and reading Megillah there, but the people in New York are reading on the 14th, so isn't this an issue of Gudus Agudus? To have this both happening there in one area. So that's why some suggest again that maybe it was not done there, it was done in the villages. And others say no, they're not worried about it because Los Escotodu only applies when you have one group doesn't hold from the Anhaga the other group. Each group thinks the other group is doing the wrong thing. But if each group recognizes that the other group is doing what they're supposed to be doing, so then some Rishonim say that's not an issue of Los Escotodu. Also, another parenthetical question that's raised, that if you're going to say that the 14th obligation is really the 14th extended, so then when this guy, if in Rashi's scenario, if this guy in the 14th is reading for the village people, so maybe he's Yotze on some level, even though he's really a city person who's going to be there, so maybe he's Yotze. So how does that affect his actual Kriyas Megillah? Can he still read the Megillah on Purim itself, having been Yotze on earlier days? Which gets into the question of somebody who fulfills a mitzvah in an imperfect way, can he go back later and fix it? And that is a lengthy discussion about this in the Kajik Lover Rav Sefer. In the Sefer Siach HaSadeh, in the back, is a whole discussion about that. Very question, he talks about the tissue of Megillah, because otherwise, how are you going to get a person from the city to do it? Why is he going to give up his key in Megillah in order to help out these village people? He's going to sacrifice his own key. So that's a question that's also dealt with. So here again you have the Rakechever coming to explain the distinction that really Megillas Esther is comprised of two obligations. There is the Kriya and there is the Persimmon Yisa. And that really, what these village people are doing, it's not Kriyas Megillah at all. That really, this is a reflection of the fact that really we're letting them off the hook for the Mikra Megillah. But that Persume Nisa is so important, that's what's going on. So if that's the case, that could also explain the Mechiv HaDavar issue. They don't need a Kriyas Megillah. They just needed Persume Nisa, and maybe that could be done even by somebody who's not Mechiv HaDavar. This is also relevant to another issue that's discussed. If the people from the villages came in on Mondays and Thursdays, that's great, but they didn't come in Sunday night, and they didn't come in Wednesday night, so what did they do about the nighttime Megillah? So according to the Binyan Shlomo, it works well. They never heard of it. Right? And the Mishnah was talking about that before there was such an institution. But if you say like the Persim Menisa idea, so as the Rakechever already established, there's no Persim Menisa at night. Persim Menisa is only the concept of the daytime, so that would work well. I think the Ran, who was the one who asked this question, so he just explained that this whole thing is a kula, that Chazal gave these people an opportunity to be more lenient about this aspect because of their issues and because of their help. So therefore, once we're Mekel already, we're also Mekel, they don't have to read at night. And together with the explanation that we mentioned for that house, aspect of reading at night, we could understand it, that it's not its own chiyuv, but it's a preparation for the daytime reading. So the fact that they potted these people from that kriya maybe isn't so shocking. Okay, so to continue these points, I'd like to just move briefly into the issue of Megillah reading for women. So the question of women is a complicated one, as always. So the Gemara says that, and the Mishnah says that women are obligated in Megillah. The impression that you'd get, and the impression that some Rishonim got, is that therefore women can read for men. That because of Afein Hayubos or Hanes, they are obligated, so therefore they share the same obligation. So let them be Motzi men. Others, however, disagreed, and many Rishonim quote the Bahag. The Bahag has different forms of what he's saying, but the general thrust of it seems to be that the obligation of women is not the same as the obligation of men. That men are obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah, in Mikra Megillah, while women are obligated only in Shmiyas HaMegillah. So what exactly does that mean? So what exactly that means is a good question. But what does it convey? So it seems to convey that women are not on the same level of obligation as men, and therefore are not going to be qualified to learn the Megillah for men. They're not going to be considered to be on the same level as obligation, same level of obligation. So one broad way of looking at that before getting into the different explanations of why is based on the point that we started with, that if we assume that men are obligated in Kriyas Megillah, Mishum Medivrei Kabbalah, and women are obligated only because of Afein Hayubosu Anes. So Afein Hayubosu Anes can only work to obligate you on a level of the Rabbanah. So therefore, women are going to be chayav in Mikra Megillah derabanan, while men will be chayav in Dvarei Kabbalah. That, by the way, is related to an issue, it's a suffix that Briska Rav has in his Chidushim to Erchem. So what exactly Afein Hayubosu Anes means? Is that something that canceled out the Ptur of Mitzvah Sei Shazman Grama? Or is it something that's independent of Mitzvah Sei Shazman Grama, but it creates its own chayav? So if it just canceled out the Ptur, so then women should really share the same obligation as men. They don't have an exemption. But if the idea is that it creates a new chiyuv, so then that fits with what's going on here, that men are chayav on their level, but women are chayav only on a level of Rabbanan, because that's what Afein is coming in to do. There's a lot more to say about Afein, but I'm just parenthetically bringing it in. So, within that framework, so what do you get? So then the question is, all right, so let's say it's different. So let's say men are obligated in Midivrei Kabbalah and Kriyas Megillah, women are obligated in Midivrei Rabbanan in Shmiyas Megillah. But what's that distinction based on? So what is there that's going on here? So many Acharonim take the same general formula, that what you have is, you have the fact that Mikra Megillah is broken up into different parts. There is the Pirshei Me'isa, and there is Kriyas HaMegillah. And Kriyas HaMegillah is motivated by X, by some factor, and the Achronim differ as to what that factor is, but they all follow this formula, that since it's all X, that men are chayav in X and women are not, so therefore only men are chayav in Kriyas HaMegillah, and women are chayav in Shmiyas HaMegillah because of Pirshei Me'isa. So just to mention some of the theories of what is X, so the Ohr Sameach writes that X is Milchiyas HaMalek, and as we discussed, I think, last week, that there is a suffix among Achronim and Rishonim whether or not women are chayavas in Milchiyas HaMalek and in Zechiras HaMalek, and the Sefer Achinuch took the position that women are not chayavas in HaMalek, and so therefore, after the Ohr Sameach writes that the other aspect of Megillah is Zechiras HaMalek, and that's the Kriya, because the Pasuk says, Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer, that requires a Sefer, while Pirshei Me'isa writes, that you could do by heart, that you could do on your own. You don't need a Megillah for that. So, Bal Karchach, women are only Chayavas and Shmiyah. They don't need Kriya because their obligation wouldn't need a text at all. And Kriyas and Megillah, that's an aspect of Amalek, of Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer, and that's only an obligation for men. The Machashas takes a different tack, and in the opinion of the Machashas, the X factor is hollow. Right, that the Gemara says in the Sechas Megillah on Daf Yudale, the famous discussion, the Gemara asks, why is it we don't say Hallel on Purim, but it seems to be a good day to say Hallel? So the Gemara has three answers, and one answer that Nes does takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael doesn't get Hallel. Another answer is Akasi Abdi Achashverosh Anan, we are still slaves of Achashverosh, so therefore we're not going to celebrate, whatever that means. And the other answer is Kriyasa Zol Halelo, that the Kriyasa Megillah counts as Hallel. So that seems to suggest that Megillah serves a role of Hallel as well, and that's the famous Shita of the Meiri that the Nidah Behuda's son has a whole tshuva about in the Shivas Tzion. The Meiri says if you're stuck on a desert island and you don't have a Megillah, you should say Hallel. Because really, Hallel is an obligation on Purim, but we fulfill the obligation through Megillah's Esther. But if you're not going to have Megillah's Esther, then you should say Hallel because Mechuyav and Hallel on Purim. So that's one suggestion Macheshet has, that maybe Hallel is Mitzvah Seishah Zman Grama, so women are part of the aspect of Hallel, so therefore that explains the distinction. If you look in the Sefer Dagel Reuven, if Reuven gets, he has the opposite Hesbri, he says the Hallel that women are Achay Avosin, and that's the aspect that the women are obligated in for Megillah, so one of these things that can go in either direction. The Stipler has a different Mahalak, the Stipler suggests that it's a function of Talmud Torah. But the Gemara says in Megillah on Daf Daled that if Purim falls out on Shabbos and you can't read the Megillah, so therefore you have to darshan the topics of the Megillah instead, and you can fulfill it that way on some level. So that seems to suggest that Megillah contains an important element of Talmud Torah. Right. Because you can't read the Megillah on Shabbos because of Gzeirah D'Rabba, they don't want to carry it. So instead of reading the Megillah, we're going to darshan about it. So you see that the Talmud Torah component is a strong element of Megillah. So since women are pater from Talmud Torah, then they're going to be pater for that reason. The Avnei Nezer has a tshuva in which she explains that really there's an element here that still needs to be figured out. Even if you follow this formula of X, and you say that, well, X is Kriya, and women are only chayavis and Pirshei Me'isa, which is Shmiyah. So you need to explain a little bit more why it lines up that way, that why is Pirshei Me'isa dafka Shmiyah as opposed to Kriya. So we mentioned the Ohr Sameach addresses it a little bit, but the Avnei Nezer has his own very, very creative explanation. And he has a complicated raya for this, and in the interest of brevity, we won't go into the whole raya. But his position is that he quotes from the Rambam and from the Sekelim on the Rambam that as a general rule, anything that is only known to Talmidei Chachamim is not called public knowledge. If you have to be a Lamdan to know it, it's not considered to be known. So if you're going to ask somebody the day after Purim, you're going to go up to the average Jew in the street and say, tell me, did you read the Megillah yesterday? He's going to say, no, he didn't read the Megillah. He went to shul. And somebody else read the Megillah, and he listened. He heard the Megillah. Now, if you ask a Lamdin, he would know that he did read the Megillah. He would know that the principle of Shamaya Keona, which means that through hearing, you're able to fulfill the obligation, which actually is Kriyas HaMegillah. So really, we all did read the Megillah on Purim, or we'll read the Megillah on Purim, but some of us will do it through the mechanism of Shamaya Keona, but it's all called reading. So the difference between the Talmud Chacham and the average guy is the average guy thinks he only heard the Megillah, and Talmud Chacham knows that he read the Megillah. But, as the Rambam taught us, as the Nosei Kerem explained, if something is only known to Talmid Chachamim, that's not called known. So therefore, Persume Nisa has to only be through the Shmia. Because most people don't know that they read the Megillah. They only know that they heard the Megillah. So, therefore, Bal Karchach, the person is only through the Shmia. Very interesting idea. And everything else can take place through the Kriya. So those are some of the suggestions as far as women are concerned, which would lead you to the conclusion, though, that even if women can't read for men, but they could read for themselves, they could read for other women. But even that has issues, as we'll see in a second. Hi.
Is there a problem with
Polish? So it seems like not. There's a discussion about that in the Kolbo, or Master Stebner has a little truth about that. It seems like not. It's a little separate discussion on why not, but that seems like it isn't. So, that being said, so the Magen Avraham does call from the Medrash Nelam that women should not read the Megillah even for themselves. And the Rav explained the idea that really when we say that women are Chayavis in Megillah, and we say that they're Chayavis in Shmias Megillah, so really what they mean is not that they should be reading on a different level, but that they are not obligated in reading at all. And their relationship to the Megillah should be dafka through the audience. That afen hayabosu anes means that when the Megillah is read, so women should be in the audience because they were also a part of that tzibur that was saved. But as far as them reading the Megillah, so that's what the Rav explained this Magen Avraham, that they shouldn't be reading even for themselves. That's not what the chiyuv is. The chiyuv dafka is that they should hear it. Okay, so but it wouldn't be a Kriyas HaMegillah. Yeah, the Chiyuv is they should be part of the audience. There's a Chiyuv on men to read it, and the audience, you could think, okay, so only men have a Shaykhis. The Gemara says, no, women have a Shaykhis also, they should also be part of the audience. I don't know if it goes that far, I don't know if he's not just saying it like that, but it seems to sound like it. I'm trying to stop short of just saying that, but it certainly reminds one of that. But it's a basic idea. Okay, so we'll cut there not to go to that, but just to review what we spoke about. That's a chaz of that also, a chaz of the Purim Torah. It's so straightforward, isn't it, chazar? It's obvious. Skipping of the Purim Torah, so basically we talked about the fact that the Gemara says that you have to read the Megillah at night and during the daytime. So even though we relate to the nighttime is a bigger deal, but the halacha relates the other way around, that the morning is really the ikkar, the night is not, except for the rokeach who disagree. And there's machlokas between the Tosfos and the Rambam as to whether you should make a nishachiyo in the morning. Tosfos says you should, the Rambam says you shouldn't. And the Rokeach Shavar made that point about the question here being whether it's one obligation or two. So then we talked about the Noda Behuda, who says the difference between the morning and night is the morning is Divrei Kabbalah, night is Derabanan. We talk about the Binyan Shlomo, it says night there's no chiv at all during the time of the Mishnah, it was only later. Rav Yitzchak Frank who disagreed, and Dvar Yeshua says there was reading in during the time of the Mishnah, but it was only a minig, and it came to Din Derabanan later. I mentioned therefore if you have to choose, should you only do the night or only do the morning, so even though the Aruch HaShulchan says you should take the night because of the Ma'avir on Mitzvahs, but many others disagree and say that especially in this case, we don't take any Ma'avirin because really the whole focus is on the second part of the Mitzvah, and that's how the Rav explained that really the nighttime is kind of like a marmakomus preparation for the morning because all the Mitzvah Purim take place during the day. And then he pointed out the Rebbe Traver's view that pursuing Nisa is only during the daytime and not at night at all, and therefore there's a difference as far as the Megillah night and the morning is concerned. So taking that point, we then move to the issue of the different Kriyas, that we know that Shushan Purim and Purim the 14th and the 15th, we know that exists as two separate readings, but the Mishnah tells us also that there are earlier days of reading as well for the village people who couldn't organize the Kriyas and Megillah on a normal day, So we let them have it on Monday and Thursday. And Rashi says that they have someone from the city read it for them. Tosfos says, no, it can't be. That person's not going to be a Baruch Chiyuva, like Yerushalmi says. So we talked about different suggestions and how to say it. Either you disagree with Rashi completely, or you take Rashi's view and you have different ways to say it. There was a Baal Korei, or there was somebody else doing it, or there wasn't, or maybe there's a Machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. And we mentioned the Brisker Rav's idea that there's a difference between Yadal and Tetzvav, which are two separate Chiyuvim, and Yadal and Yigimel, which are all extensions of one idea. And then we mentioned this comment to the Avnei Chayfetz, that perhaps Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos is the question of, is it two separate days of Purim now, or is this basically a Tashlumin for the first one working backwards? And then we mentioned the Rekachavar's idea that, well, first of all, we mentioned the issue of Losses Godu, we talked about that a little bit, and different positions in Rishon affected by that. And then we talked also about the question of being Mekayim Mitzvah in a less ideal way, can you go back and do it in a better way, and how that would mess things up over here. And then we talked about the Rekachavar's view that this whole thing is for the purpose of pursuing Nisa, that Kriyas Megillah really is only on the 14th and the 15th, and this is a way of just extending pursuing Nisa, and therefore, so that could also help as far as their obligation of hearing from somebody who's not Mechliyev B'davar. And then there's also the aspect of why there's no reading at night, what do you do about that? So according to the idea of Nefesh Manisa, neither works well. Also according to the idea that there was no Takan at that time, when the Mishnah was talking about this, also works that well. And the Ron's answer is that because we're making on them already, so we're making on them with this as well, which also works well. The first explanation is basically a preparation for this. And then they talked about the obligation of women. The Gemara says that women are obligated, so some Rishonim say that means they can read for men. Other Rishonim say, no, the Bahag says, no, that's only Shmias Megillah, not Kriyas Megillah. And I mentioned a couple of explanations why that is. That first of all, maybe they're only Chayav as the Rabbanan, why men are Chayav as the Rikabala, because Afhein HaYibos Maneis only brings you in on a level of the Rabbanan. We mentioned the Suffolk, the Brisker Rav. What does Afhein do? Does it cancel out Misfasatius one Grubma, or does it run in a parallel track? And then we talked about different Achronim who basically assume that Megillah is broken up in different parts, Kriyas Megillah and X, and women are chayavas in X. And according to the Yerushalmeach, X is Mechiyas HaMalek, women are patur from Mechiyas HaMalek based on Mechinuch, and that's where the Kriya is because of Ksozov, Sikar, and Basefer, but Prishma Nisa can be done Baal Peh. According to the Marcheshes, the issue is Halal, because the Gemara says in the Fidal and Megillah that we don't have Halal and Purim because we have Megillah, so apparently there's a Kim of Halal and Megillah, and women are patur from that, but the woman says the opposite, that Halal is Davka, why women are obligated. And then we mentioned the stipler, that it's an issue of Talmud Torah, because Gemara says in Brach and Megillah and Dev Dalet, that if it's Shabbos, you can't bring out the Megillah, but you can darshan the issues. And apparently that shows us the Megillah is meant to convey a certain amount of Talmud Torah, and women are pater from that. And then we talked about the Avinez's idea, that why should it be that Shmiah is associated with Simonisa and Kriya and everything else? Because if it's so, that if something is only known to Talmud HaChamim, that's not called public knowledge. And therefore, the fact that most people fulfill Kriyas Megillah, not just Shmias Megillah, is not well known. Only Lamdanim know that. And therefore, the person in Nisa Bal Karcha has to go through the Shmia and not through the Kriya. And then we mentioned just the Magen Avraham's Medrash Nalam, that women shouldn't read even for themselves. I mentioned the Rav's Hezber about that, that the Chiddush of Achim Baruch Zoneis means they should be part of the audience. But a Chiyuv Kriya, they don't have at all. Okay, so the thrust of all of this is just that Megillah is broken up into a couple of elements, that Persimonisa is a strong element, and that there are other aspects as well, which different theories exist as to what it is, whether it's Halal or Mechias HaMalek, or General Chiyuv Kriya, or Talmud Torah, all of that is packed into this Megillah. It's an important thing to keep in mind as we approach the mitzvah, to know how many different elements could possibly be wrapped up in that one scroll. Okay, you should have a wonderful week, a wonderful Shabbos Acher, and a Feiruch and Purim.